Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. It's been a few weeks. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the set manager at Second City Hockey. And this is usually where I tell you you can find me on Twitter, but you can't right now because I sent a hate tweet to Anthrax Jones because he made a joke about trading Ryan Graves for Alex DeBrincat, and my account got suspended. So maybe you'll see me on Twitter again or maybe not. But I've got the usual line mates with me this evening. First off, it is the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, and you can find him on Twitter at Shepherd Price. It is Shepherd Price.
Dave got suspended from Twitter. I twisted my ankle running past the Enterprise Center yelling, "Let's go Hawks." So that's where I am in life.
Was it a bad twist?
I couldn't walk on it for a good day.
Shepherd, I sprained my ankle 2.5 weeks ago. At a softball game, I had a slight collision. A guy landed on the inside of my ankle. I didn't know if I was going to walk the next day. And it's 2.5 weeks later, and my ankle's still kind of not healing. And I'm really worried I broke something. So I know you're younger than me, but I'm just here to tell you, once you get to a certain age, there's a great Sinbad bit about once you get about 30, it just stays broke.
Yeah.
And I am there. So I think my ankle's just going to be broken the rest of my life. Maybe I'll just cut it off at some point.
Or just get used to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or just get used to it. I don't know. I don't really have much. I don't have many other choices here. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Also with us this evening, he is to Second City Hockey what James DeWeese is to Reggie in the Full Effect. It is Mil Savic.
Free Dave, Twitter.com. Free him.
Yeah, I've been trying.
Also, Shepherd found out the bad juju that resonates off the drink Scotch Center firsthand today, apparently. He sent a picture of Busch Stadium in the chat, too. I had to go wash my eyeballs out.
I went to a Cards game. I'm within walking distance of the stadium, of both stadiums.
Did you go? Were you at the game the other day when Yachty dropped that, like, easy pop-up?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Hall of Famer, okay. Yep. Sorry, I'm on the Cardinals hate train.
As you should be, as everyone should be. Even the people in St. Louis should be on it by now.
Baseball.
And also with us this evening, oh, Mill's on Twitter at Mill182, by the way. You can find his account. And then also with us this evening, she's at SecondCityHockey.com under the name LBR, and she is Second City Hockey's bull and wall of text. It is Betsy.
like how you guys are talking about getting to go out to baseball, and I'm like over here like, ugh, baseball. But I did get to go. I went to the movies for the first time since like forever to see In the Heights because I got free tickets. Very good movie. Highly recommend if you like musicals.
So, I watched a Psych musical last night.
Yeah. I love the, like, that's my favorite TV show. So,
can I tell you guys a quick story before we go into anything? Because I forgot to say this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of my friends, he works at a casino. He moved to Florida. He works down there. He messages me two nights ago and goes, hey, you know your hockey, right? I'm like, yeah. I just dealt to this guy. Is he any good? His name's Andre Svechnikov. And I'm just like, what?
What?
He just like dealt to him. He said he was super chill and polite. Like him and his girlfriend came up and played whatever he deals.
So was it blackjack, I assume?
I guess. He works at some casino in Fort Lauderdale. I didn't really ask because I was like just kind of shocked to that. He's like, yeah, I didn't know he was like super pro and good.
Like and he like, did this like, recently? I thought players weren't allowed to go to things like that still. Well, like,
I mean, it's their off season.
Yeah.
They have more than 2 weeks to get.
You know what? In my head, I heard Servachev and not. Okay, player in my brain.
Yeah, so I guess Fetch is down in Fort Lauderdale having a good old time. So I just thought that was funny, and you guys would appreciate that, because it's always funny when people who don't really watch hockey or know their players are like, yeah, this guy's going to be good. Like, yeah, he's a star on a good team.
So I had a friend who used to work at the Horseshoe Casino, which is in East Chicago or Hammond. It's one of the boats in Northwest Indiana. This was like 10, 15 years ago. And NBA teams would frequent he was a valet driver. So he'd run into NBA players a lot. Guess one night the Pistons were in town playing the Bulls, and the game was the next day. And Allen Iverson was on the Pistons at the time. And allegedly Allen Iverson had to be carried out at like 4 or 5 in the morning because of how much alcohol he had consumed that evening. And then he missed the game the next day with quote flu-like symptoms.
That's happened. I don't want to go into it. That's happened to hockey players too.
I'm sure it's happened to professional athletes in general.
There's some pretty brutal Hawks ones.
Yeah. Isn't that the new Vegas flu?
Yeah. But sometimes it happens in Columbus, I guess.
Only Tyler Anderson's on the team.
Well, it happened after that a couple of times too. But like I said, I'm not going to go into it on that.
Yeah, that's a deep track for people who are.
You probably know what I'm talking about.
I think I remember the story, but let's not get into it because
there's a different story we have to get into.
This week. And there's no good way to seeing into this because we actually I didn't even know if we wanted to do our opening usual few minutes of joking because. Most of our joking is probably going to stop right about now. And
if we're laughing, it's because we're the Ralph Wiggum, I'm in danger meme. That's the only feeling we have right now.
So anyone who's been following anything, and this is why we're doing this episode on, we're recording on a Sunday and posting it on Monday when we usually do midweek stuff, is Blackhawks are in a lot of trouble right now. Mainly the front office, it seems. So if you've been living under a rock and you don't know the story, it is that a video coach from the 2010 championship team had allegedly sexually assaulted two of the players on the team. And it appears that the story is that the incident happened and then it was reported to the organization and then the organization did not do anything about it. And now via multiple lawsuits and media reports, all this stuff is starting to come to light. I won't go too far into the details because I'm sure anything we say here on Sunday evening, it might change by the time Monday morning rolls around, because every single day Rick Westhead from TN has a new report out that sheds a little bit more light on it. The biggest thing that that we should probably mention now is that John Torchetti, who was an associate coach on the 2010 team, has confirmed on the record. It was initially, there was a different anonymous source that Rick West had cited, but now he has a associate coach from that team on the record saying that the coaches and players were aware of this incident. They told another assistant coach who was in on a meeting with team brass, including John McDonough and Stan Bowman and Al McIsaac. And they were the assistant coach who was in this meeting was named Paul Vincent. And apparently he told the front office that you guys need to go to the police with this. And they said, no. So That now you have pretty good. I mean, I have no reason to doubt anything he's reporting. So you have pretty good evidence now that the organization knew about it and covered it up 10 years ago. And this time around, there's been nothing from the Hawks at all. There's just been a few no comments in the media. I think the only thing they've really done publicly is file a motion in court to have the whole thing dismissed, which I don't think there's been any decision on that. So I don't have really a better question for Shepard, Miller, Betsy, whichever one of you would like to start. What the fuck, man? That's all I got. What the fuck?
So this is something that impacts the entire league because the NHLPA was apparently a briefed on it very quickly after the executive staff and the front office had a meeting. But also there has been somewhat of a diaspora of Blackhawks front office staff from that time because Kevin Cheveldayoff is now the Winnipeg Jets GM and Mark Bergevin, who is probably worried more about the Stanley Cup final right now, but he might need to be worried because he was director of pro personnel at the time. And he said he doesn't know anything about it. He didn't know anything about it. But if the players and the staff and the coaching staff knew, the rest of the front office probably had to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Betsy.
I was going to say that there are some people that were like, well, he was just a scout at the time. He wasn't. He was the player personnel director and was in a direct line of, to both Vincent, who's the one that reported it, and Aldrich, who's the guy who's being accused. So there's just no way like that he didn't know about it, that he's saying that it just came up now. That seems very like, and there was earmuffs on at the time, like suspect.
There was a TSN report that it was an open secret among the organization.
And Carcillo, who wasn't on the team at the time, but was on the Flyers during the finals when they, you know, of course, beat them in the finals in 2010, said that the Flyers team had heard rumblings about it during that time because it was such an open secret. So it just seems very like this was a knowledgeable incident that went beyond the players themselves and those few executives in that office, maybe even beyond the Blackhawks organization, because one of those reports said something about the player had in fact gone to his union rep with the NHLPA. They apparently said something like, you know, that's a team issue, it needs to be handled in the team or something. So this goes a lot. There's a lot like a spider web out, and it's damaging to the Blackhawks. It's damaging to the league too, I think.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of indicative of the overall, I guess, toxic culture that exists within hockey, that it's a very insular community. It's a very, it's a very interconnected community, and outsiders are frowned upon, and they just don't. It seems like they just try to exist in their own world where things like this can just be swept under the rug. And I guess this is where, and Mill, I'll come to you with this since you've been quiet, but we'll get you in on this. But like this all happened 10 years ago. So, and obviously the world has significantly shifted in 10 years on this topic in a massive way. So my thought was that, you know, if you were the Blackhawks front office and you can't release a statement that said, you know, like, we fucked up 10 years ago, but we understand now we understand now that we were wrong, and we're going to do what we can to make it right, which sounds probably just throw money at the plaintiffs in each situation. But they're not even doing that. They're not doing anything. So I guess I don't know what question I'm bringing to you, Mill, but just what are your thoughts on that and just the situation as a whole?
Well, for a lot of us who have been fans for a while, especially through all the cup runs recently, it's like there's been a lot of sketchy at best incidents, you know, where it starts to build up in your mind of like how much of this is just, you know, BS. Because it's one thing after the other. Obviously there's rumors and stuff, but this is not a like rumor, whatever. Like, this is a big deal. This is not something you joke around about with accusations. So I think the front office has to bear the brunt of it, and there's going to have to be changes made. I don't think I can take them seriously as long as I've been a fan. I don't want to give them my money. You know what I mean? Like, because that's what it seems like. We cared about making money. We didn't want to come out with this during the final run. Look at the timing, you know?
Yeah.
It's heavy. It's really heavy. It's hard to digest.
Yeah, like tomorrow's going to be, or on Monday, Gary Bettman's supposed to meet with the media, as he always does every year before game one of the Stanley Cup final. And it might be a while before they talk about hockey, because this is, as you said, it's a big deal. Like this is, it's indicative of the negative aspects of hockey culture that this happened and it was swept under the rug. And I mean, even they asked Nick Leddy about it in the exit interviews with the Islanders. They asked him about it, which is a touch unfair to Leddy because he wasn't signed until July 2010. So, and Aldrich was not with the organization anymore at that point. So Leddy wasn't around the team when this all happened and when during that first cup run, but his response was also that very cliched, very hockey response of, here's the quote directly. It's honestly, I know that organization is first class all the way, whatever's going on there. I think it's being dealt with on their terms and it is being dealt with on their terms, which is the fucking problem because their terms are not good.
Well, they're trying to just call statute of limitations. That's basically saying we know what happened. We don't care.
Yeah. That's the thing is they don't care. They don't think that this is important. And 10 years have gone by and the world around them has changed and they still don't give a shit. And it's very disheartening.
This is another case of hockey. Just again, like we said, just being the old boys club, like this is, it's straight up an old boys club. And this is where like it really is a negative. And as a society, we don't believe victims of sexual assault enough, especially when it's men. And so them sort of not believing these men that have been, that are claiming to be victims of sexual assault is it's indicative of a larger problem, not just within hockey, but within society at large, but it's especially so within hockey. There's a lot of problems in hockey and this is one of them.
Yeah. I mean, this is, go ahead.
I was going to say that when you were talking about, they need to come forward and say they messed up. They're never going to do that unless it's proven in court. Like that's not, they're not going to ever admit that something was wrong unless, like, it doesn't matter how many people come forward and say this happened. They're just going to rely on the whole, because they said, they go, we did an investigation and found the allegations to have no merit. Like that was in one of the stories. So it doesn't matter if, you know, everybody says we knew that this was happening. The organization is just going to say we did something about it. And it was to find that nothing was there. And that's what they'll toe no matter what. They'll sit there and say, you know, we did our due diligence and nothing came of it. And that's just crap because, you know, obviously they didn't do their due diligence. Not to the satisfaction of anybody involved anyway, if this is still coming up years later. Right.
Right.
And I think it's the good old boys club of, they're not going to believe them automatically. And that's the investigation they did. Their investigation was they went into it, not believing it. So their results were going to be, they're not going to believe it.
They go into it with the thought of how can we make this go away as quickly as possible and as quietly as possible. And
the bias is strong, but too, you guys, this is being reported as they're getting blackmailed for ice time.
I didn't see that. I missed that. Was that, I mean,
like there was a report, I have to find the source where it said this is the video coach, right?
It was an assistant video coach.
And he was going to say, well, I'm going to tell them to decrease your ice time. You're not performing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I remember,
so it's like, this is really messy.
Yeah. I didn't remember that part until you just brought it up. And it's all gross because it's already, first of all, sexual assault in general is gross. But like, especially when you put into like imbalance of power.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You're adding more to it. And like, if you hear some of the stories, cause there's like discrepancies on whether or not the Blackhawks gave this guy a reference, because one of the players that's suing that is not with the Blackhawks, but was with one of the other schools that this guy played at late or coached at later, said that no, he didn't get a, like he gave a recommendation. And then there was a report from the school that said, no letter of recommendation came from the Blackhawks. You know, in fact, they didn't do a background check because his uncle was like, worked there already. So they were like, yeah, hiring family. And they were just happy to have a Stanley Cup winning video coach on their staff.
Yeah. That's whether or not the Blackhawks like endorsed this guy for this job he got in high school, like the second lawsuit that you mentioned, Betsy, that's a high school hockey player from Michigan. And I think the incident happened, I think, in 2013.
Yeah. So, and he,
because the Hawks didn't do anything, this guy he was a predator and he preyed on another.
Exactly.
A high school kid.
There's a lot of people that are splitting hairs about that whole recommendation thing. And I'm like, I don't even care if they didn't give him a recommendation. He still had on his resume with nothing in his history to blacklist him from working with players in vulnerable positions. Cause you know, either in the case of, you know, NHL players, they don't want to lose their job. They don't want the stigma of, you know, in that uber masculine culture, you know, none of them want that all around them, you know, being taken advantage of physically, mentally, psychologically, whatever. But then he went on to work with kids, you know, like went on to work with minors, and the Blackhawks could have done something more if all of these allegations are true, which it seems like where there's smoke, there's fire. They could have done something. I don't care if they didn't give a recommendation. They could have prevented him from at least working in that field and in like, some way.
If you want an idea of just like the hockey culture and how this stuff kind of permeates at all levels, like this, I saw this tweet yesterday from Rick West at the TSN reporter, and this story, like this, this crazy to me. Like it's again, I would like to think that the world has changed in 15 to 20 years and stuff like this would be a much bigger red flag now. But here's the tweet verbatim. Rick Westhead, the TSN reporter, is tweeting this. Spoke to a parent of a AAA player in Michigan where Aldridge coached the team in the mid-2000s. He recalled a team party, and this is a quote from the parents. The boy started wrestling. Aldridge jumped into it, but he wasn't really wrestling. It looked so wrong. And yes, I did say something, and that dad was told to mind his own business. Like, So this guy had a long track of questionable behavior with high school kids and then pro athletes and then back to high school kids. And it's just like, and like you ask yourself, I guess I was like, how the fuck does this guy get more jobs? And then the other, and so I don't have a good answer for that question. And then the other thought is like, if that happens now, does that guy still get jobs? Like, I don't know how much hockey has changed because the people in hockey don't seem to give a shit about this, or the people in charge of hockey don't seem to give a shit about this at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Shepard.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You go ahead, Elliot.
I was going to say that I think sports in general and sports institutes that have such a high reputation that they don't want anything to tarnish it. So they're way more likely to try to, you know, sweep everything under the rug rather than do some type of institutional reform to get rid of this kind of stuff. Like they might be trying to do that to the side of things, you know, like run it at the same time, like give more seminars, you know, HR, try to figure out ways through the PA to get this kind of stuff weeded out more today. But I don't think they're ever going to come out and say there's a problem because that would tarnish the NHL. They're one of their highest money-making, most successful franchises. And it's not, again, doesn't go just to the Hawks. This is just a one story in a sea of probably a ton of stories that exist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to answer both your questions, the first one, he keeps getting jobs because nobody reports it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, we've said it already. If the Blackhawks reported it, he doesn't get that second job in Michigan and he doesn't get to assault another kid.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think it kind of differs from franchise to franchise in the NHL today. Like there are progressive franchises like the Seattle Kraken who have so far proved themselves to be very progressive. Look at their front office and the diversity within it. And it's a much different scenario than like the Buffalo Sabres versus, and as well as the Toronto Maple Leafs. And maybe hopefully he doesn't get a job in those progressive franchises, but like the more old boy club ones, like,
and like
Chicago.
Yeah. And the other thing, like I think because of Toronto's new GM, Kyle Dubas is that I know doesn't he have a checkered history? Like, doesn't a few of like the junior teams he was involved with have prior incidents that aren't so great? My point is that like, even if you hire someone who's like 35, they're not the old boys club, but they're still in that club because they're like, either sons or nephews of the club that is in charge anyway. Like it's all the hockey family tree does not branch out very much. It's kind of goes straight up and down because it's very
garbage.
It's a very isolated community.
Yeah.
So to bring this back to the Blackhawks, because I'm sure we can go like the overall point I think that we're all in is just like, this is symptomatic of the overall culture. That's an issue within hockey in general. It is certainly a Blackhawks problem, but it's also bigger than the Blackhawks at the same time. But to bring this back to the Blackhawks specifically, there's no way in hell Stan Bowman survives this, right? Like from a job, like he's going to get fired within the next week, you'd assume, right?
I wish I had your faith, but I don't think so. I keep thinking that they're going to wait until the judge, you know, the motion to dismissal happens. If the motion for dismissal happens, I don't think anybody's going to go through any type of reparations for this, any type of accountability.
No, they're going to bury McDonough with it all.
Well, yeah, that's the one interesting part was the meeting of the brass with John McDonough in. And I'm like, well, there's one guy here that's not part of the organization, so they could try and throw everything at his feet, but everyone's culpable. Like, it's not just.
I feel like if they tried to do that, McDonough would come with fucking receipts. You know, like he'd be like, "No, sir, I have recordings," or something like that. You know, he'd be like, "I could blackmail every one of you."
But I don't think. But I think that he's done so much shit that they probably have on him. That
like it's mutually assured destruction.
Yeah,
because like I mean, look, you know, there's so much stuff that's going on where McDonough would just kind of, well, we won cups and we both. It's like that doesn't matter, dude. You're not addressing these problems. That's how he was.
Yeah, and this is I think this is another situation where like how much did Rocky know and when did he know it comes into play? Because if he didn't know till late, then he might be a lot tempted to fire Bowman. But if he knew when Bowman knew, then he's probably going to write it out with the guy he's been writing it out with for more than a decade.
Yeah. And there's also the point of, did Rocky think that it was handled properly? Like if he did know, because as we've heard, lots of the players apparently thought that it had been handled. Like they didn't know that nothing had happened or because he just, you know, Aldrich just disappeared, right? He was just gone after 2010. So to them, out of sight, out of mind kind of situation.
Yeah.
And then it came out in 2013 again that, you know, he got arrested and he pled guilty to assault on a minor. And that's when it was acknowledged, oh, actually, no, nothing did happen to him. But
and he's now a registered sex offender in Michigan.
Yes. And I don't, it's like the problem with the details coming out in piecemeal is that we just don't know all the details, you know, like there's not a full picture here. We don't know exactly who knew. We can make assumptions because why wouldn't he know? Because he was in this lineup. Like Q probably knew, because if Torch knew, Q probably knew. But how much power did they have in the situation? Did they think that the Blackhawks brass was going to take care of it in a meaningful way? Probably, or hopefully. So Rocky could have known and thought that it was handled. Or he's one of those owners that was like, handle it, and I don't want to know the details because I don't want it coming back on me.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. Or he might not have known at all. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, I think your point, Betsy, about like what we like knowing what we know and what we don't know is still very much, and this story keeps changing, you know, every few days it seems there's another report. Rick Westhead finds another way to make the Blackhawks look worse just by shedding more light on all the stupid shit that they did. But like the point for me, like once they like there was I think it was like a week and a half ago, he cited an anonymous source. I think it was a quote person close to the situation. I don't know who it was that first mentioned this whole meeting between Paul Vincent and the Blackhawks higher ups of Bowman, McIsaac and McDonough. But now that you've got an associate head coach on the record confirming it, I'm done with all anybody that was in that meeting is gone for me. Like you all have to be fired and you probably don't deserve to work in hockey again, because that right there shows that you knew about it. It was your, I like, it's their responsibility. Like that's a management thing. Like it's your job to go to the police or whoever and to go to the authorities and get this guy persecuted for what he did. And you did nothing about it. You tried to sweep it under the rug. So I still like, that's where I'm still, I don't know with players and coaches. I haven't really formulated thoughts on that yet, but like everyone in that meeting is fucking gone or should be tomorrow. But again, that's as to Betsy's point, like, I know I feel that way, but who knows if they feel that way?
I'm with you, Dave. Mm-hmm. I think they might wait till the final's done, though.
They're going to wait till Friday at 4:30, and then they'll have the press release that everyone's fired. Just because.
No. I'm just saying, like, they might, like, the NHL, because they're going to get involved, I think, eventually, especially depending on what this motion leads to. They don't want this kind of shit going on when they're, you know, it's their Stanley Cup finals on. They don't want it to lose viewership over this, you know?
Well, but I mean, it's like, I feel very, like, I don't want to be so cynical that I look at it from, like, a ratings perspective, but if you fire people now, like, you can at least say, like, hey, we're doing something about it, instead of letting it linger for 2 weeks and have everyone, like, every other day, it seems like another media outlet picks this up and it gets a little bit bigger.
Well, I'm with you. I share your opinion, but I just think that these people are too, you know, boneheaded to do anything.
That's all right. That's a fair point. Never underestimate the stupidity of hockey people.
Yeah, I don't have the faith that it's going to happen at all unless everything comes out with, like, documents, like all the subpoenas come through and it's like legit, yo, everything is here. I don't have faith in the machine that is the NHL. The NHL has already said that they're not going to do they don't plan to do an investigation at this point because the Blackhawks have handled it. And you're like, what did they handle? We have no idea, because they said they handled it, but did they?
They didn't do anything. Yeah, exactly.
Either they incompetently investigated back in the day, which, you know, that actually could have happened, you know, like they didn't care, or they just went into the investigation with absolutely a predetermined idea of what they wanted the outcome to be and then swept it under the rug. Or they knew the severity of it and didn't care. So it's either they didn't give a shit, they're incompetent, or they've turned a blind eye. Like, it's
either incompetence or indifference, and neither one is good.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like they said after that happened, like, we're going to let this guy go. And they probably told him, you can't work here, this doesn't come out, blah, blah, blah. And then the guy, like, what they think was going to happen, you know?
And
this is another case for why you hire diversity and why you hire diversely, is that this is, again, the old boys club fucked up here. Like, this is all failed sons. Stan Bowman got this job because his dad is the best hockey coach of all time. I'm not going to say that, like, in diverse places, in diverse workplaces, this doesn't happen. It just happens a lot less, and that matters.
Yeah, because you have somebody who's not, quote, in the club, who will see something this and, like, won't, like, they'll speak up. They're more likely.
Exactly.
Someone from outside the club is more likely to speak up than someone in the club.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope they blow the whole damn thing up. I mean, anyone that was involved, and then as you were, I think, Shepard, you're the one mentioned earlier, like, how far this reaches, like, the NHLPA might be involved. You have the current Stanley Cup final competing team, the Canadians are involved because Bergevin was with the staff. Cheveldayoff in Winnipeg, and God knows who else was in the front office with Chicago at the time that is now in another role in the NHL. And it feels like it's going to keep getting bigger until something happens. But Monday's press conference with Gary Bettman ought to be interesting. But to Betsy's point, though, I think Gary Bettman will say a lot of there's an investigation ongoing. I can't comment on it because of legal matters. And that he'll say that four or five times, and everyone will get annoyed and mad. Then on Tuesday, another detail will come out that will make you want to throw up even more. So, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Just they've activated my cynicism, and just because that's, and why shouldn't they? Because that's how these things work, it seems, unfortunately.
I mean, there's been too much, like, people, like, not fans, just not caring because of the winning. Like, it's, you can't act like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, kind of on that topic, I do want to dive into a little bit about how this affects fandom. And it's a weird way to go with this, but I don't know. We'll see how it works when we come back on the other side of this quick timeout. So I'll come back for that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as we mentioned before the break, we're going to try and come at this from a little bit of a different perspective for this part of the pod. And I realize at the top that this is not the most important aspect of this whole situation, but we wanted to explore kind of the fan and how this affects being a Blackhawks fan, because that's the one bond that the four of us share. We're all Blackhawks fans. And I imagine that a lot of people listening to this are Blackhawks fans. And I imagine also many of you like us, like this kind of affects how you feel about being a Blackhawks fan in the way, just the way you feel about this whole fandom thing that we're all a part of. And it takes me back to 2015 and all the Patrick Kane stuff. I'm not here to relitigate that case because that's not the point of what I'm talking about here. It's that the thing that bothered me so much about that whole situation was the way fans reacted to it. Like, the organization completely fucked up their handling of it, which again, they're doing now. And just the way fans react, the way fans got so defensive and just so gross online with, attacking the plaintiff in that case and defending Kane to a degree that was just unnecessary. I didn't understand why fans ran to that defense so hard. So I don't really know if that's happening in this situation. Yet we'll see how this goes in the upcoming weeks. But the point was that summer certainly affected how much I was into the Hawks, and it took a while for that to come back. And I feel like that might be happening again, just like with all the stuff coming out. It just kind of like, this is supposed to be fun and this isn't fun. Like, this sucks. And again, I know there's other people, there's a lot bigger things at stake here, but this is the only perspective I know how to come from. And that's the perspective of being a fan. And it sucks to know that the team I cheer for had all this shit going on during all of it. And so I just wonder, for the three of you, and if you guys want to take this, how has this affected you being a Blackhawks fan in the last couple of weeks, or I guess last month is how long this has all been going on?
I could start if nobody wants to start.
Go ahead, Mel.
Just because, you know, and I'm not going to dive too much into the Kane thing, but I'll say with that, I really had to take a step back. People, like you said, Dave, people were being really crazy online, and even at games, like, he would get announced as a starter and it was like a louder roar than normal, like on purpose, which is kind of crazy. And to me, like, that was just more about a player, and I had to take a step back. And I don't wear the shirts and stuff. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I don't know what happened for sure. But with this, it's like, I don't know that I'm going to be wearing my Hawks gear for a while. I definitely don't want to give them any of my money. Not just because of, obviously the victims are the most important people here, but how can I support an organization who thinks that this kind of stuff was okay and then basically allowed it to happen again? That's kind of where my mindset's at. So it's like, I'm still going to watch the team, but I don't want to dump everything into them and wave that flag right now. I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. Like, I just, it was like, we talked a little bit about during the season, cause they were playing all these young guys and they're up and coming, and like, maybe they were onto something with all, like, it was kind of a, It was like, you had some hope and some optimism about, like, maybe this could be fun again, because it hasn't exactly been much fun from just a hockey perspective for the last 3 to 4 years, because they haven't been that good. And it was like, there were little glimpses of like all the individual players of, you know, the Kurashevs and Boquist had his moments. And so it was starting to kind of become fun again. But now, like, all this just kind of casts a pall over all of it. And it's just hard to enjoy that. It's hard to enjoy what's happening on the ice because of what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a similar situation for Mill. I want to try to disconnect. Like, I still want to support the players themselves that are on the team now and the team itself in terms of, like, I get enjoyment of watching that. But it's going to be hard to disconnect that from this. I'm going to try, but it's going to be hard. I just – I know, like I said before, I don't have a lot of faith that anything's going to come of this. So I don't want to give them money, but I also don't want to like, it's so hard to like, got to try to disconnect it. When the Kane thing was happening, I had issues with people taking either side right away. Like, I think you need to believe victims and like believe that if this happened and then there needs to be an investigation. And there were so many people that were gross about it. Right. And not wanting it to happen. And again, supporting Kane unquestioningly was a really weird stance to take. I can understand the stance of, I want to wait until all the information is out because there is an investigation going on. And the difference between that incident and now is that, you know, that incident was happening in real time. You know, it happened right then and all the stuff was coming out and it was unfolding that way. This happened in a past. This happened so far long ago, but everybody knew, you know, and it's much more pervasive to the culture of hockey hiding things than anything else. And so it's going to be a struggle to disconnect it. I hope I can do it because I want to enjoy like what's about to come, like the draft. I would love, like, I'm excited about some of the players that are there. Mm-hmm. And now I'm being put on a damper because Bowman's going to, we're going to see his face picking these kids, or even going into like Team USA hockey.
Oh yeah.
Bowman is the GM of that. And I was so excited because I was like, well, I mean, the Brickett could be on the team at least, you know. I'm not super like thrilled about him necessarily picking the team because I'm not sure he'll pick the best, but you know, that's like a whole different thing. And now I'm like, that's going to taint my like of watching that hockey. So I'm like, I really hope something, like the investigation opens, something is found, and then there's some type of closure sooner rather than later. I just don't have any faith in that. So we're just going to have to try our best to disconnect them from our fandom, or it's going to become like a dark place.
Yeah. It's a very different situation than like 2015, because again, as you mentioned, Betsy, like this happened in the past, and what happened that summer was happening in real time. And also like one of the players that you were going to be watching was front and center. He was the accused. So this situation, it's basically like the players were the victims. The front office is the accused, essentially, in this situation. Well, one of the front office employees was accused, and then the other front office members were accused of the cover up. And so like, I don't watch the Blackhawks because I like Stan Bowman, you know, like like your emotional attachment for this sport is because of the players. And any sport, it's because you want to see the players, you know, like the front office, like if they're cool, you know, if they're good at their job, you like them. But I mean, if 2 months ago they'd fired Stan Bowman, most people would have been happy because most people hated him because they didn't like the trades he's been making. And even like after they'd won, like if they'd fired him in 2016, after one season, after they lost, or after they won the last cup, if they'd fired him right after that year, I'd be like, yeah, fine. It's the GM. Who cares? If they traded Jonathan Toews, I'd have been very upset, because your emotional attachment as a fan is not to the, usually not to the front office, it's to the players. Like, I'm a Notre Dame football fan. So I like learning, as you mentioned, Betsy, to kind of like separate between the two. Like, you can enjoy the players while recognizing that maybe the institution that you're cheering for is not the best. I mean, Notre Dame football. Like, I've been down this road before. So but it's still like, I never know where that gray area of how to reconcile all this is, because like, it's like, what's the breaking point for you? Like, I still know people who were Blackhawks fans before 2015 and are not, and still have not gone back to watching the Blackhawks because of all of that stuff that happened with Kane in the summer. So for some, like that area is different for a lot of people. And so I feel like that's just kind of a lifelong thing of, like, to take it to another thing, it's like separating the art from the artist. Cause there's musicians that have done terrible things, but people still like the music. And there's authors who've written great books that have been terrible people away from it. So it's like, I don't know how to differentiate those two things. And I think it's a lifelong struggle for most of us. Shepherd, do you have any other thoughts to add?
Yeah. Luckily I'm a fan of a different hockey. I'm a fan of another / different hockey team. So it's proven a lot less problematic, even with the problems I have with the coach. It's not like I don't have problems with Chicago's coach anyway.
I just give it time. They'll do something stupid to make you hate him.
Exactly. Maybe. The worst thing they've done so far is maybe have biased officiating. Prove that to me. There's plenty of missed calls on Minnesota and Colorado and Montreal too.
Yeah.
Like LBR and Mill said, it's going to be hard for me to give this team my money until they prove that they are willing to change and do the things it takes to change and fire, like you, Dave, have said, just fire everybody from the in the front office still from that era.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if Rocky knew, then I think it would take selling the team too, to hopefully not someone like Mark Cuban, but like, maybe multiple people. Maybe the era of one owner is over. And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. I don't, I have a lot, just, I feel like I just say, I don't know a lot about the situation. Just, I don't know. Like there's so many, like it's still an ongoing thing. There's still new things being reported. And I don't know. I just know, like, as you guys have all shared, like, it's just it really casts a pall over your fandom for a while. And I don't know how that goes away. It just kind of lingers. And I like with, like the Kane stuff, like it took a couple of years before I felt like I was really starting to enjoy them again, just cause it was the way, as Betsy was saying, the way fan, like everyone just so immediately went to his defense. I'm like, can't you just wait? Like if you don't give him a standing ovation, like you don't have to boo him, but don't give him a standing ovation either. Just kind of hang out in the middle. Well, like there's a place in the middle where you can reside until you know more information.
Dave, to add to your point too, what made that so crazy was he went on that MVP run that next year.
Mm-hmm.
So then people were just going nuts. Like it wasn't just like a regular season. It was even more reason for those people to be like, we'll see, like this is our guy.
Yeah.
I think when they were winning cups, it kind of was like that with the front office. Like we have to, you know, remember how much credit Bowman was getting and people would be like, no, it's Talon's guys or Smith's guys, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a weird fan. I mean, our fan base is really all over the place.
Yeah. And the other thing I got out of the entire saga from 2015 was that every now and then you'll see like people like moralizing their team and their front office of like, you know, we're the good guys. Like, just wait, man. Like these are a lot of millionaires living in a world that you don't live in. So like
you don't know these people.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah, exactly. You don't know these people.
Way more faith in people with money than I do. You know, I feel like people that get that much money, they don't have morals, or they're willing to bend them a lot more. That's just,
I just don't.
We'll just wait till they threaten Anthrax Jones. Then something will be done about them.
There it is. Yeah. He's just because, and I don't even want to, I'm so upset about getting banned from the internet.
I'm mad too.
Yeah. So I don't really have much else to say. I mean, it kind of sucks I'm no like, woe is me. Like, sucks to be a Blackhawks fan right now. Obviously there's bigger fish to fry. We know that, but again, we're just that's the perspective we all have. And it's just not fun right now. And I feel like it's going to get worse over the next few weeks, because like, even if the Hawks fire everyone tomorrow, like there's still going to be more details, I'm sure, that come out about everything that happened. And like The Athletic wrote a big article about how it might tarnish the legacy of those teams. And I haven't even gotten around to thinking about that yet. Like, I don't even know where that goes. So,
we have to proceed with caution.
Yeah.
That's all we can do right now.
I think it has to be like what I was saying with the Kane situation was the people that stayed the middle that were like, I just want to wait before I form any opinions other than there needs to be an investigation. Cause obviously they're fucking dead, but, just stay the course and wait for all the details to come out. Cause they'll shake out, like at least enough that we can form an opinion at one point.
Yeah.
We'll hope. The best thing that can happen is the judge doesn't dismiss because of blanking. Oh my God, words so hard.
Which one of the writers?
It wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't mispronounce something, right? It's just usually names.
Well, you got the Sergachev and Svechnikov thing messed up earlier. I thought that was your past, Betsy.
Oh man. Double
I have to find humor in something today, you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I also would just say that I don't think anybody should get mad at fans that, one, dump the team right now. You know, if they have to take a step back from the fandom, nobody should get, like, annoyed at those people or that are questioning this. Let them be, like, have their own feelings and opinions about this. Don't get mad at people that are going to stay with the fandom either, because they want to, like, try to work through it that way, or they're trying to disconnect front office actions with supporting a team they've always supported their whole lives or something like that. You know, both these courses are fine. Just don't hate on anybody. The only thing that I would say is the people that are, like, unequivocally saying, no, nothing bad happened, because those people are taking it like a definitive stance that you can't know right now. We just can't. So let people fandom how they want and let them have their emotions of the situation how they want. But be prepared, because probably more bad stuff's coming.
Yeah. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So,
well said.
Unfortunately,
that's the way it is, but well said.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes. Like, I'm interested to see what happens, because the next month is, so Bettman does his media stuff on Monday, and then, you know, after the 2 weeks of the Stanley Cup final, then we get into draft and free agency, which is typically a time where there's a lot of FaceTime for front office people in front of the media. So if the Blackhawks do not fire everyone, like I think they should, and I'm sure many other people are, I imagine there will be a lot of questions, because the people who are sitting on those media reports, sitting on those press conferences, have been reporting about this stuff, and they've been getting more information. So I imagine they will have questions for Stan Bowman, if Stan Bowman is the person they see. But we'll just see how that goes. And I haven't seen this anywhere, and I meant to Google this ahead of time. Do you know if they're having the fan convention this year?
I believe they are.
How the hell does that work with all this going on?
I've worked so many of those. They don't even, it's just a money thing. They don't care. Yeah, well, like, it's absolutely insane up there.
Yeah. And they'll do what they do. So I worked cons before. I worked Dragon Con a lot. They'll just switch to, instead of people asking their questions, they'll take questions from the audience and have somebody that's, you know, team related, ask them instead. That way they could 100% censor any odd, you know, questions.
Yeah, they'll filter them out.
They'll just get the 4-year-old kid to ask cute, adorable questions instead of having any adults ask anything real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the black.
I want to ask the hard questions about this goddamn coach.
Man, like, can't we just have a podcast where we talk about, like, wanting to fire the coach just for, like,
honest performance? Can we bring that back?
Let's get back to our bread and butter.
Back to hating Zadorov and...
Oh, God. Remember, that was such simple times, like, 3 weeks ago.
Well, at least we have the Stanley Cup final to look forward to this week. Hopefully we can look forward to it in some regard.
Yeah, all right. While we're here, let's wrap it up on this. Really quickly around the room, who's going to pick the Canadians? I am not. No way in hell. I don't care how many series they won that they weren't supposed to. I'm not picking against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Is anybody going to do it?
No, as long as they have Vasilevsky playing at this level, he's going to get the Conn Smythe. The only thing I'll say about Montreal is they're wearing a French final patch at home, and I think that's kind of badass.
They need Kucherov to be healthy. I think
with a team that is that much over the cap and paying that many people, that many good players, they should be able to do it down Kucherov. I mean, have you seen the Habs lineup in comparison? And not to take
but you look at that, and then they shut down Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty and Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith, who should be the best players in the series.
Yeah, but you got to pick the boar back there. And John Cooper is going to, he's ready to, you know, get on his cigarette boat and party back to back.
Yeah, but
still, I still think Tampa needs the best player in hockey in the playoffs, and that's Nikita Kucherov. And
don't disagree completely. I just think that, like, hate to bring up Kane, but Kane's been shut down in playoff series, and the Blackhawks have still done well in them.
I mean, they won without Stamkos last year, basically.
Yeah, and I don't think that. I think that they should be able to overpower any team, even without Kucherov. I think Kucherov's better than Stamkos, though. Just
FYI. But the problem is that they're not just without Kucherov; they're without a healthy Hedman. Stamkos, I'm sure, is probably still not even healthy yet.
I still think that Tampa was deeper than Vegas was, even because my cup final was Vegas and Tampa. Because even though I really wanted Colorado to go far and win, I didn't think they were going to make it past Vegas when it came down to it. Because I just think Vegas isn't the most skilled team top to bottom. They are very skilled, but I think that they just work better as a unit. I think that's what Montreal has going for them. They're so good as like the way that they're working with each other, but skill wise, I don't think they match up. But I don't think the Habs will win, but I want to root for them. I know that's very un-American, but at least Cole Caulfield is on the team and I can love him.
And I think, I don't know if I asked you guys this or I asked someone else this, but how far does Cole Caulfield drop in the draft if Alex DeBrincat doesn't get drafted and do what he does? Like, I've seen all these tweets about, you know, Caulfield going 15th overall. I'm like, DeBrincat didn't go to the second fucking round, man.
Yeah.
And everyone said, oh, Cole Caulfield's just Alex DeBrincat. I'm like, all right.
Yes. Well. He is in that model. Yeah. If DeBrincat's not DeBrincat, I think he's the second round player.
Yeah, I'm probably
at the very worst, he's like late, like in the 20s, you know, like I think he's like later 20s, where some, but one team back there is like, oh, I'll throw my first rounder at him because he was guy that fell. Yeah. Was DeBrincat before his draft? I can't remember. Did people say that he was going to go in the first round and he fell really far, or
that I don't remember.
I don't remember offhand. I just remember when he was scouting with hand beforehand and when he was coming to the Hawks, I remember people being like, oh my God, please let that happen, because they were excited.
Only thing I can tell you guys for sure is that Tampa Bay Lightning merchandise sales have gone through the roof in the greater Ontario area this week.
You say that, but then there's pictures of guys in Leafs jerseys with like a Habs logo over it.
There are Habs fans there too. It's just like, Leafs fans are probably having a fucking meltdown right now.
Well, did you see the headline from, it was Pension Plan Puppets, who is our Maple Leaf sister blog at SB Nation. The headline was, if you tell me to cheer for the Habs one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face.
I thought there was
a really good headline.
There was a headline that was something like the Habs winning would be good for the Maple Leafs. And people were like, okay, Leafs, way to make it all about you again. You know,
how does this affect the Leafs? Yeah,
they were like, it's actually good for the Leafs, and it's like, no, it's not. It doesn't do you anything.
Makes them look worse, is what it does.
Well, if I had to spin my Blackhawks fandom to lean on some Detroit hate right now to get, you know, my satisfaction out of it, at least we could say if the Lightning win back to back, it took Yzerman leaving for them to do so.
Yes, and to spin it into the Blues hate, if the Canadians lose the series, the St. Louis Blues are the losers of the playoffs, because they lost to the team that lost to the Stanley Cup final.
All right,
dude, the Blues had no friggin' business.
It was like a Russian doll.
Yes, a little Russian doll of losers.
Russian nesting doll of losers. Yeah. All right, I think that'll do it for this episode. Hopefully, ending on the lighter note helped brighten the mood around some less enjoyable topics. But keep an eye on secondcityhockey.com. We're going to, like, the reports come out every single day. We may not have an update every single day, but we're going to try and keep everyone updated on what comes out, because it's stuff you need to know. So we'll try and keep up on that. We're also going to try and finish, this week should be finishing up our review of the 2021 season. And then coming out of the 4th of July holiday weekend, we'll start looking ahead to whatever the hell is going to happen this summer, which could be, we got a lot more question marks about how that's going to work. But we're still going to do it. So, thank you very much for listening to this episode. Thanks to Mill, Betsy, and Shepherd hanging out on a Sunday evening to get this all done. I think that'll do it for this episode. So, again, on behalf of those three, thank you again for listening. And I guess, go Hawks. Yeah, I don't know.
Go Hawks players.
Yeah, go Hawks players. There we go. Fuck everyone.
Go Jonathan Taves.
Yeah, all right. Go Jonathan Taves. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis. Felt like I was trapped between a rock and a hard place. Then I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.